This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply.
On now, Inside Douglas County, Douglas here we go County, this afternoon.
On News Radio 93.9 FM
Umpqua
and
1240
KQEN.
Things that are happening. Going to talk about the city of Roseburg today. Mayor Larry Rich, also City Manager Nikki Messenger. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
Hi, Kyle.
So, Mayor, the other night you did the State of the City address talking about things happening, and we're going to go through a lot of the same material. I guess I wanted to start out asking both of you today about your thoughts in general about how things went last year for the city.
Well, for me, it's one of those things where at the end of the year, we get a report from the department heads of things that they have accomplished. And what it shows is that we get so involved in the work that we'll have something completed, we'll celebrate it, and the next day you have to get move on to the next one. And it's not till you get to the end of the year and you see the list of things that are accomplished, do you go, wow, because you just don't realize that as you're going through the year, the huge volume of things that is accomplished. And we'll probably talk about a bunch of them today.
And Nikki, for you, what would you think about the year?
Boy, the year pretty much flew by. We are, like Larry said, we're so busy doing the things, we don't always get a chance to reflect on accomplishments, and we know we have more work to do in a lot of areas, but it's nice to get an opportunity to look back and go, you know what, there are some things that we have accomplished, and folks need to be recognized for that.
So let's talk about, I guess, first of all, UCC and the city working on this whole medical workforce area. What can you tell us about that?
So we had a few big things happen this last year. The council in the previous year had approved a contract to start working with UCC, and then we did another amendment to that that will allow us to participate in the construction costs of the new medical services building that they are going to construct on their campus. Another big thing that happened is they had been working with Idaho State University, which had been in the works for a few years previously, but they are actually launching this term their first programs with Idaho State that bring both a bachelor and master's degrees to UCC in social work.
And it seems like it's going to be, this is going to be a slow process, but it's one that you've already been working on for a long time.
Yeah, there's people in the community who've been working on it for more than 10 years, and it takes a while to bring something like this to fruition, and I think momentum will build additional momentum, and so pretty excited about it. It's always great to get that first program launched and looking forward to more to come in the future.
And it really, shifted there. You were going in one direction, and then when COVID came along and funding priorities changed from the state and all of that, you kind of had to almost start over.
Yeah, it was definitely a different shift in direction. We took a look at the overhead that would be created by two separate entities, and it didn't seem like an efficient use of the limited funds. So started talking with UCC about how we could streamline that and help each other. And that's been a great partnership. Rachel and her staff are amazing, and they continue to move that project forward.
And Larry, what do you look forward to in that in terms of how that can help the Umpqua Valley as these programs are added?
We always hear about the shortage of healthcare workers in our community. And you hear about people that have to go to another location to get that education, and then it's hard to get them to come back. This is a nice way of allowing them to stay here, get that education, realize how great Roseburg is a place to live, and then hopefully stay here and work. So the opportunity to hopefully cover that gap, you know, in terms of not having enough health care workers here, this is a good opportunity to solve that problem.
Now, one of the other big issues that has been in the community for several years, been evolving as well, is the whole area of homelessness and what to do. Kind of back up a year or two, you had the Gary Leaf Navigation Center opened in what year?
2023.
Okay. And mm-hmm. So what's gone on last year in that whole front?
Yeah, so in 2022. Sorry, is when we opened, I think, with the Mod Pods. And then in 2023, we became fully operational with the Congregate Shelter. And so they've been quietly working at their location to stabilize folks and get them into a more stable housing situation. And they've had a ton of success. They've I don't have an exact number, but I know it's approaching 100 individuals that have been able to locate a stable housing situation, whether that's reconnecting with family or a different path for them, but it's gotten them off the street. There's been families, there's been children that have been living down there and then reconnected with stable housing. And so we're very proud of that program because they are quietly doing really good work.
And you guys have talked a lot about the idea of a potential camp at some point. Where's that at?
Well, that's a tough one because people will ask, can we have a campsite? And then when we do find a location, it's like, uh-oh, you're in my neighborhood and it needs to be on the other side of town. So that makes it really difficult to find the location. We found a few sites. It didn't work out. We have to have a public hearing. And so we're back to the drawing board. The Homeless Commission was the ones that were looking for the potential site, and it's now back to the council level. So we're also in the process trying to figure out, well, how do we work with the ability to try to find a campsite with the council, because you can't really have a quorum. Otherwise, you break the rules. So we're looking at how we can get it, identify property, and then get people to get out there and take a look at it and then make a decision. Do we want to move forward with it, yes or no?
And how do you think these issues impact, for instance, the business community?
Well, if you ask the business community, it doesn't help to have a campsite location next to them, because unfortunately, a lot of those campsites, and that's not the one that we want to run, they are not clean. They're full of trash and stuff, and that's not good. You want a nice place, and we hope to run it totally different in the term of when somebody shows up, then you're expected as a homeless person to behave and keep the place clean and clean up yourself and get back to the community as a functional human being. And that's how we want it to operate it. So we get it when homeless or when businesses say, not here, not a good location, and we totally understand that. But we're going to have to step up, and if we have a campsite, we're going to have to step up like Navigation Center and prove that we can do it right.
What about, talk about what's been done or what is kind of done in a cycle with siting the camps, and you've got one particular officer, maybe two assigned to working in that area.
Yeah, so we do have a homeless liaison officer, and he is assisted by a community service officer, which is a non-sworn position within the police department. So he is dedicated to going out and educating and then also holding people responsible for following the rules. And so we call that ordinance time, place, and manner. It's pretty commonly referred to that in Oregon. And there were some changes at the federal level of what we can do there. But within Oregon, there are state laws that still we have to follow as far as how long of notice we have to give and what we can do to be objectively reasonable in our ordinances. And so the council was able to adopt updated ordinances after the Supreme Court made a decision in the Grants Pass v. Johnson case, and that has allowed additional consequences for people that are unwilling or just have not been following the rules. So there are places that are not off limits, but only during certain times of day. And I think this time of year, because the sun goes down so early, it's like 5 p.m. to 8 a.m. So they can, there are places that would not be cited between those hours. But for those folks that are not compliant with that, they're given an opportunity to be compliant. And if they choose not to, then they're issued citations, and the citations now have escalating penalties so that consequences can hopefully impact behaviors.
Well, let's switch gears here. One of the things that came up during the year as well, a series of meetings about a idea of a land swap with the urban growth boundary as we find ourselves at the start of this year. Where is that process at now?
So with that process, we have successfully gone through the city and county planning commissions. The council has adopted the ordinances that would enact it. The county has taken the action required for that to go through. It's been forwarded to the Department of Land and Conservation Department. Excuse me. But it's been appealed at that point. And so we are waiting for a decision to come out of that state agency that we can then react to as far as what we may need to do to continue getting the adjustment to the urban growth boundary successfully completed.
And it's something that the city's been looking at for quite a while, just in terms of trying to find land that's relatively flat to build on.
Yeah, if we can get flat land within the urban growth boundary, it's going to be much more affordable for developers to be able to build housing than it is when you're looking at the hillsides that require multiple water reservoirs, multiple pump stations, much more expensive to build roads and things of that nature when you're doing it on hillsides.
All right, more when we come back. Roseburg City Manager Nikki Messenger, Mayor Larry Rich, the interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming up at 1. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show at 4. We're talking about the state of the city of Roseburg. Mayor Larry Rich, City Manager Nikki Messenger in here this afternoon. We're going to breeze through a bunch of things in this second segment. You got a new public works director this year.
We do. He's
or
not
last year, actually.
Yeah, we do. Ryan Herrings has been with the department for 18 years, but was recently promoted to that director position.
And talk about going into that when you've already got that background.
Yeah, it's great to have his level of experience with our department, with our partners within the community, and he's got a great skill set for the job.
Now, outside of the land swap area with the community development department, what else is going on there?
So the other urban growth boundary thing they are involved with is expanding the urban growth boundary to bring in the remainder of Sunshine Park. When we put that park in, it was not all within the urban growth boundary or the city limits. And so there's some undeveloped portion of it that we would like to bring in so that we can do some additional development.
And is that going to be fairly quick or is that going to take a while?
So we're in the same process as with the other one, and we have been to the city and county planning commissions. Next stop will be the city council.
What about the library this year?
The library is always just hitting it out of the park. They bring in an amazing amount of programs of national quality. They continue to increase the number of checkouts, the number of cards. I'm just always super impressed with what they are able to accomplish with such a small staff.
And Larry, talk about the police and fire departments and what you've seen there in the past year.
Well, when you look at their emergency calls and their records of fire calls, it's just amazing of how many they do in a year. When I saw that there was 4,200 emergency mail calls, I thought, oh, that's like 11 a day, every day of the year. I mean, that's quite a few. And the police department have the same thing when you look at theirs at 6,500 reports. That's a lot of reports per day. So they're kept busy. And with the police department, it's nice to see that there's a lot of applications now of people that want to join the police department. Before, it was hard to get people to apply, and I realized nationwide people thought the police were the bad guys in a sense, and so it's nice to see that turning around and realizing, no, they're the good guys, and to see 244 applications. We end up hiring 3, and I think there's something like 64 that are being currently interviewed for a possibility of continuing on to see if they qualify. So it's nice to see the program receiving people interested in being future police officers.
In downtown, we've seen a lot of things happening. Talk about some of the changes downtown.
I think one of the things we're most excited about is to see the old Rite Aid and Safeway come into local ownership. So for the 30 years that I've lived here, those have been owned by out-of-state owners. We've seen them dilapidate, and then, of course, Safeway be demolished and actually look better as a vacant lot than it looked as in the state that it was in when it was still standing. And so super excited that the Cow Creek Tribe of Umpqua Indians has has bought that property, been meeting with them, talking with them, seeing what we can do to help see that develop in a way that is meaningful for downtown. Super excited about the farmers market coming downtown, getting lots of positive feedback, both from store owners and from the farmers market itself and its vendors.
And also downtown, we are seeing more student housing with the college. Talk about that.
Yeah. They just started moving students into what was the old Newberry building. They call it the Hawks Hideaway. I got a chance to tour that before they started moving the students in, and it's amazing what they've been able to do with that space. Super inviting, nice dorm-style rooms up there. And having students downtown is transformational. The UCC students in particular have been some of the best volunteers for the downtown events, for all kinds of things. And so having that demographic that maybe is eating downtown, I know that they've done some food programs through the college down there, but they're also, some of those students have part-time jobs and they're right there. They can provide employment or provide workers for some of those downtown businesses. And so it's been a really, really positive thing, I believe, for downtown.
One thing that probably is a bit of a dilemma is the whole parking situation.
Yeah, it hasn't been much of a, well, the overall parking, yes. As far as with the students moving downtown, that's not something that we've seen exacerbate that. But parking is a dilemma everywhere. I keep track of what's happening in other cities. And if you look at Salem, they are going through the same thing right now and are getting rid of their free parking downtown and going to paid parking.
Let's talk about parks projects. Larry, what can you tell us about things going on there?
Let's see. You have the Stewart Parkway tennis and pickleball courts coming in. So I think they're right at the final stage of that design. So that'll be really exciting. They're going to wait till the end of the tennis team season's over before construction would begin. You got mentioned earlier Sunshine Park. That one to me is exciting because that's the mountain bike riding trails and hiking trails for our community. And then Brown Park, maybe a lot of people know where that is on Harvard behind the fire station there, is a park that's going to have a playground facility there for everybody that wants to go there and use it. That'll be really exciting for that particular part of town.
And that is did you already get the additional land for that? Did that already happen?
Yeah, I love that story. That was one where Commissioner Kress reached out to the city because he had people that had approached him that wanted to do a donation to get an accessible park, and he thought that better fit within the city, and so he connected us with those donors. They made a $150,000 donation, which was enough for us to buy that parcel that was next to the existing Brown Park, and it's going to be a really fabulous park when it's done for people of all abilities and all ages, so that not only kids with disabilities but their parents maybe that aren't able-bodied can interact. It's really exciting.
Are there other areas around the city where there's the potential for additional parks?
So we do have some additional areas that our master plan identifies. I don't know those right off the top of my head, unfortunately, but as the city grows, that is something that we keep in mind is how do we provide the proper parks for areas that we may bring in the future.
Let me talk about, or have you talk about the airport. A lot of people don't understand a lot of things about it, and I know you've got federal guidelines and things you've got to do to be able to have certain size planes and all of that. Where are things at now at the airport?
So the airport has a few projects going on. The biggest one right now is the taxiway extension. We've been working on that for about a decade. Got grant funding to do that construction. It'll kick off this spring. That'll make the taxiway match the same length as the runway. So the larger aircraft that need the entire runway for either landing or takeoff won't have to back taxi on the runway. And that's a safety issue when you have an airplane that's making multiple maneuvers on your runway and they're out there for longer than they need to be. We have an uncontrolled field, and so that's just a safety issue that will be eliminated by this project. We just finished a backup power project. Everybody knows we're experiencing more and more power outages as the sensitivity settings go up during the summer to protect us all from wildfires. And then after Snowmageddon, We had some issues with power, and so we took us a little while to get the grant funding put together, but that somewhere 96-97% of that project was grant funded, and so we now have backup power for the fuel system and the nav aids out there, so the airport can operate in case of an emergency. And then we're also working on a security project that'll update some of the fencing to current standards, so, and that'll utilize the BIL funding.
So about 30 seconds left. Larry, you made a comment in your address about Roseburg is the best small town in Oregon. Why do you think that?
Well, every place that I've been, I always come back to Roseburg. It's the place I love to be. We've got so many opportunities here of just the beauty of the town and the quality of people. And I like to share with people when they ask what makes it so special. I said, all you have to do is attend an auction, and it'll blow you away that this community will give money and money and money to support causes. And you don't see that in any other community to the same extent that you see it here in Roseburg. So it's a great place to live. And I notice when people are new here, they think, well, I'll stay for a short time and leave. Next thing you know, they stay here for a long time.
All right. Mayor Larry Rich, City Manager Nikki Messenger, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Kyle.
Thank you.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.